We're turning this morning to the book of Ecclesiastes, the last chapter of Ecclesiastes, and you'll find that just after the major book of Proverbs and before the Song of Solomon. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and we'll read just the first seven verses. Ecclesiastes 12, reading at verse number 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Wherever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. And may the Lord bless to our hearts this reading of his own infallible and inspired word. Let's bow together for prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy great goodness to us, especially considering the matter of the salvation of the soul. And we thank Thee, our Father, for the fact that many here know the Lord as their Savior. We pray that Thou would bless them. And even though, Lord, sometimes in life they have to climb the mountain, they have to face the difficulty, yet, Lord, Thou hast said, I will never leave Thee nor forsake Thee. And so we pray that Thou would be with each one of them and encourage them by the way. And then at the other end of the age spectrum, Lord, we think of the young people who have been enjoined in the Scripture to remember their Creator in the days of their youth. And Lord, we know that is very good advice. We pray that Thou would cause our young people not to be so caught up with the world, but rather to think of the Lord and what happens at the end of this life on earth. And so, our Father, we pray, close us in with Thyself just now. Speak to our hearts and souls. O God, we pray, if there's anyone here who knows not the Lord, that Thou would make it clear to them. And Father, we pray that even today they would have cause to have even more thanksgiving to God, because today was the day they came to know the Lord. So speak to us, we pray, by Thy power, and bless us and do us good, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Ecclesiastes 12 is a marvelous chapter of the Word of God. It is in the nature of a poem, and it starts off with a very good word to the youth. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, because when you're young, not so many problems, not so many cares, but then as time goes on, the evil days, they draw nigh, and so it becomes more difficult. A good word for the young people. Then he goes to the other extreme, because then from verse 2 down to the end of verse number 7, he gives a wonderful picture of advancing years and what it's like as you get towards the swelling of Jordan. Let me just quickly highlight it for you. Down there in verse number 2, what you have here is a wonderful picture of the decline of the human body. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened. That has reference to our sight, that as you get older, well, you have to wear glasses and all kinds of things to help you see. When you get older, the light becomes darker. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, that's the arms. And the strong men, that's the legs, they shall bow themselves or bow themselves. And the grinders cease. Well, that's easy, because that's the teeth. In our day, you have all kinds of ways of maintaining your teeth, but in the days of the Bible, you lost them, and that the sound of the grinders was low. And then those that look out of the windows be darkened, again a reference to eyesight, and the doors shall be shut in the street, that is a reference to a fellowship and communion that you once loved with people. We get older, I don't really want to spend so much time in that. And then it says too, again, underlining the teeth when the sound of the grinding is low. You see, when you've no teeth, there's not much noise comes when you're chewing your food because you can't do much about it, and so the grinding is low. And then he shall rise up at the voice of the bird. Well, that's very true, because with young people, you couldn't get them out of bed in the morning, but when you get older, well, you can't stay in bed in the morning. You get to 6 o'clock in the morning, got to get up, and so that happens. The daughters of music shall be brought low, that's the voice, and so on. Then when they shall be afraid of that which is high, in your younger days you'd jump up steps and so on, never think about it. When you get older, climbing up a step is a problem. You become afraid of that which is high in case you fall and break something, and fear's in the way. And the almond tree shall flourish. Well, I'm looking down over the congregation, I can see quite a number of almond trees, because the almond tree, when it comes out in its full bloom, the flowers are white. And so when you look down, you see the almond trees. I can see quite a few, and you can see one as you're looking up here. The almond tree is flourishing, and the grasshopper shall be a burden. You're young, you could lift anything. But when you get older, even to lift a grasshopper would become a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home. Verse 6, the silver cord be broken. That's the spinal cord. The golden bowl be broken. That's the brain, the head. And the pitcher be broken, the fountain. That's the circulatory system of our blood. And likewise, the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Now this morning I want to focus on one line in verse 5. It says there at the end, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Those words, man goeth to his long home. Now, you might think that's a discouragement, but it's not a discouragement, as you'll see in a moment or two. It should rather be an encouragement for the believer that we're going down through this world and we're going to our long home. And the long there, of course, is eternal. So I want to think about that. Now, you know, as I told you, my wife and I, we went out to Vancouver. We flew out for the church meetings over there. And then we decided we'd come back by train. We'd done that 40 years ago. So we'll come back by train again. We want to do that again. And I do believe that the train we had 40 years ago is the same one that we come back on this time, because there is very little change in it, even though the government has given about $100 billion to upgrade the railways, but they haven't got as far as the transcontinental one. But it's very interesting and very, very good. And what I want to do this morning is look at that verse, man goeth to his long home. And then to use our journey from Vancouver to Toronto as an illustration of how we pass along through life. Now, the first thing is the object of the journey, and that is to get home. When we stood in Vancouver at the station there, our objective was to get home, to get back to Toronto. We enjoyed our time out there, but now the time had come to go home, and so we decided to go home. Now we stand in the station and we look there, and there's several trains sitting. Now we wondered, is that the one that's going to Toronto, or is that the one? And only one of them was going. And so we discovered that there were several sets of tracks, but only one of those, only one was going to Toronto. A set of rails going almost 3,000 miles up through the Rockies, down across the prairies, through northern Ontario, and down here, only one going. And so that tells you something interesting, and that is that we had a choice to make, because we had to find out which was the right one going to Toronto and get on it, and not get on to the three or four other trains that were sitting there in the station. And my friend, you've got a picture right there. We had a choice to make. We had to make the choice for the right train. We had some action to take because we had to make sure we had a ticket for the journey, and then we had to actually get on the train. Now, folks, in the spiritual realm, there are only two destinations from Vancouver, several destinations, but in the train journey of life, there are only two destinations. The Bible only, and I underline this, the Bible only speaks of a heaven to be gained and a hell to be shunned. And the Bible tells us, choose ye this day whom you will serve. Because if you're not on the right train, as it were, for eternity, you'll never get to the right destination, which is heaven and home. So you have a choice to make. Are you going to follow the Lord and follow Him? There's an action to take, and that is to make sure that you have the ticket for the journey. I've told you before of C.H. Spurgeon's great illustration, how in the early days of train traffic, he was standing in the station, and he heard in the distance the whistle of the train coming towards him, and he says, how good it was to be able to pat my pocket and know I had the ticket for the journey. And so, friends, death, as we've read here, is coming down like an express train to every one of us. And we hear the horn in the distance. But my friend, today, do you have the ticket for the journey? Because that is critical. If you haven't got the ticket, then there's no way you'll get to heaven. And God says in Isaiah 30, this is the way, walk ye in it. And then the Lord Jesus interprets that, and he tells it in John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father who dwells in heaven but by me. So we have to come and personally make the choice and to make sure that we have Jesus Christ as our Savior. We have to get into Christ. As it says in the book of Ephesians over and over again, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, speaking of the believer, we have to get into Christ, and then He will lead us to our long or our eternal home. Now, the word home is a beautiful word. We stood in the station in Vancouver. We certainly enjoyed our time out there, but it's always nice to get home again. And that's a wonderful word, home. It conjures up feelings of family and of friends and of love. It's a place where you'll find, if they're still alive, your parents. It's a place where you'll find your brothers and your sisters. A place where you'll find your sons and your daughters. It is a place of security. And whether your home is a large home or a small home, we can say there is no place like home. You love to get home, no matter how great the holiday has been or whatever it is you've been on. It's always good to get back home. A little girl was asked one day, where do you live? Where's your home? And they wanted her to tell what her address was. But she gave a better answer. She says, home is where my mother and father are. And my friend, today, for the believer, where is home? Home is in heaven. This world is not our home. We're just passing through, and we're going on our way to heaven, where the Lord is. And when you go there, you find that the Father is in heaven. You see, we're told that we can call Him through Christ. We can call Him Abba, Father. So God, the great Creator, is our Father. But not only that, you go along and you find that in heaven is our elder brother, the Lord Jesus. You see, in the book of Hebrews, it tells us there, He, Jesus, is not ashamed to call them brethren. So the Lord Jesus, our Savior, calls His redeemed people His brethren or His sisters, as the case may be. So our elder brother, he's in heaven. And then the Holy Spirit, who dwells within the heart of the believer, He is also in His eternal dwelling place in heaven. And so what a wonderful thought that we are going home to be with the Lord. But the big question is, my friend, will you be there? Because you've got to come by the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to be in Christ. You've got to be saved by Christ. You've got to commit your life to Him. Because without that, you'll never get there. The second thing I want to look at is, we consider just the long home, but let us consider also the experience of the journey, not just the object of the journey, but the experience of it. Now, it's a long journey from Vancouver to Toronto, and we go uphill and down dale and across the prairies and so on. It's a long journey, almost to 3,000 miles, but a very interesting one and a very enjoyable one. It's likewise a long journey as we live our lives here from the moment we're born into this world until we have our last breath. That is a long journey. Now, some people, I looked down at the young people, and they're only started out in the journey. They're not very far along. But then I looked down at the almond trees and realized that a lot of us are getting well on the pathway towards home, and so we're well advanced. And I just think of something that Spurgeon said. I picked up a book in Ian Gallagher's library when we're over there reading it. It's his prayer meeting messages. And he tells, in fact, the very last one it was, I think, and he said there that he came to the prayer meeting. Now, he had about 1,000 people in his prayer meeting in those days. He came to the prayer meeting one night, and he met one of the elders at the door. And they exchanged pleasantries and so on. And he said to the elder, how are you getting on, like health-wise? And Spurgeon says, I suppose you're about 75 now. So I'm 74, so this is kind of personal here. He says, you're about 75. And the elder says, no. He says, actually, I am 82. And then he said something to Spurgeon that really stuck in the great preacher's mind. And this elder repeated it. He said, we shall get home. And again, the Spurgeon says, we shall get home. It doesn't matter, 75, 82, we shall get home. And I thought that's a wonderful statement that was made by that elder. And it stuck in my mind because every believer, whatever stage on the life you're at, that you know, you can say with him, we shall get home. As we were traveling on the train across the prairies and so on, this thought came back, we shall get home. We're going home. And so what a wonderful blessing to know that we're going home to glory. Now on the journey, there are many delights. We start off late at night in Vancouver, didn't see much. But the train, she struggled and she pushed and pulled up the mountains. As first of all, you go along a level bit of hope, and then you begin to go up into the mountains. And during the night, she's straining up the mountains. And then the next morning, we looked out, and the scenery was absolutely magnificent, especially when they came to Mount Robson, the highest mountain in the Canadian Rockies that normally is covered by cloud. But that day we went through, it was absolutely clear. And what a spectacular sight we saw there in the mountain scenery. And as you think of your life, we have to climb mountains. The Christian life is not just something where you sail smoothly through all the time. You have mountains to climb. And these mountains, sometimes they are very, very difficult. But by when you climb them, the view you get of spiritual things like Rennick that we just heard about, James Rennick, that you think of the things that we see and you sing, isn't it grand to be a Christian? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and all day Sunday. Isn't it grand to be a Christian? Because the Lord gives us delights as we go down along the way. But then we went across the prairies, the tremendous scenery in the Rocky Mountains and the prairies. They were all flat, but the prairies have a tremendous beauty of their own. And we were surprised at traveling across there at the number of lakes that there are in Saskatchewan, for example, and the number of birds. We saw literally thousands upon thousands of birds there, no doubt well fed with the remains of the wheat and so on. So that was very, very beautiful and very, very interesting. And as we traveled through our life here on earth, we have the blessing of having this book here as our travel guide. You see, we went back to certain things about the journey and so on, checked and see where we are and so on. But here is the ultimate travel guide from earth to heaven, and we're told it is the very finest of the wheat. And you go across the prairies, and you can see there a field stretching 60 miles to the horizon, north, south, east, and west, and all the great big fields of grain. And you look at the prairies here where the Lord has given us so much food to feed and to guide our souls as we live our lives here on earth. And then we saw all these lakes. One of the nicest memories I have is just on this side of Jasper. We were sitting in the dining car, which is very nice, nice food in front of you, on a beautiful lake and the mountain scene in the background. It was just like heaven to see this. And then it reminds you of the water of life that the Lord has provided for his people. And we drink a beautiful draught of water of life every day from the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the other things, the delights we saw, we saw animals, we saw some of those mountain sheep, we saw buffalo, we saw bull elk and so on, and all kinds of deer. And those animals, they remind us that these are the creation of God. God made these things. From the biggest animal to tiniest little bird that we saw in our garden last night, all about this size here, little kinglet. What a beautiful thing. You see all these things in life, and these are a blessing. And you think of the blessings and the delights that the Lord gives to his people throughout life. And the fruit of the Spirit is, first of all, love, and secondly, joy. And if you can't have joy in the things that God has made, then we feel sorry for you, because God reveals so many wonderful things to his people, and we rejoice. In fact, we think of the words of the hymn, "On land or sea, what matters where Jesus is? It is heaven there." And even though we haven't yet got to heaven, we have the wonderful blessings of heaven revealed to us. And as we go along on the train of life, that every turn of the wheel got us closer to home here in Toronto. And every step that we take gets us closer. As the hymn says, "Here in the body pent, absent from him I roam, yet nightly pitch my moving tent a day's march nearer home." So every day we live gets us one day closer to the day that we will enter in and see the Lord our God. So on the journey of life, long, long journey, there are an abundance of delights that God gives to us. But then also there are dangers, by the way, as you live your life. As we traveled along, we had to climb up mountains, and they are big. The Rocky Mountains are big. Went along places where it was quite precipitous, and you wouldn't want the train to roll over the edge, because we're a long way to the bottom. And we had to go across the various prairies and so on. Now, in the Rocky Mountains, they have two sets of rails going through most of the way. So if you meet another train, he's on another track. But you go across the prairie slightly different, because only one track. And what you have, you've got your passenger train going along at 60 to 70 miles an hour. I checked them out on that, 60 to 70 miles an hour. And on the very same track coming towards you is a freight train that may have as many as 200 wagons on it, and he's coming along at 50 miles an hour, so you're closing at about 120 miles an hour on the same track. And that's a daunting prospect when you think about it. And you remember, some of you are older, that there was an awful crash in Hinton, Alberta, where the two trains came together, a goods train, a passenger train, up went the engines in the air, and about 20 people killed. But you know the old devil, he would love to stop us getting home. He has all kinds of tricks to try and stop us on our tracks. But you know, there, you can't rejoice because you're going on the passenger train and you know it, there's a great big freight coming towards you. And you're going across the prairies there. But you'll feel our train slow down. And she pulls into a siding and waits until the danger passes. And it passes wagon after wagon until finally it is gone. And my friend, the old devil, would love to stop us from getting to heaven. He would try to bring us to a place where we're head on and we can't make any progress. But as that old elder said, we shall get home. And by the grace of God, we shall get home. The dangers that he brings against us will not keep us from getting there. So we'd like to stop us. He'd also like to derail us. We were just getting close to into Northern Ontario when we got a message on the train. There has been a derailment down around Parry Sound somewhere. The main track is closed because 8 wagons went over and they had toxic materials and they can't get it corrected, so we can't go down that line to Toronto. So here's a derailment. And the old devil, he would love to derail us. But in our case there, that we had to get off a train near Sudbury and get on to buses. And the interesting thing, I said to my wife, wouldn't it be wonderful if the buses that were there were the very ones that we rented for our Congress here in July? And sure enough, we looked out, and there's 2 Sukram buses, just the ones that we had rented, and they bypassed the derailment and brought us down to Toronto safely. And my friend, the old devil, he will throw up all kinds of things. He wants to derail you. He doesn't want you to get to heaven. He didn't want the Lord Jesus Christ to get to the cross. But the Lord beat him. And the Lord still defeats the devil. And we can say, despite the attempts by the devil to derail us on the way to heaven, as that elder said, we shall get home. We shall get home by the grace of the Lord our God. Because no robber can steal a blessing from the believer. Nothing can get us off track because the Lord is leading us step by step. The closing thought is the end of the journey, because our text tells us there that man goeth to his long home. Now, we crossed right across the country. It's a long journey, very enjoyable. We started off in car. Ian Gallagher took us to the railway station in Vancouver, then train to Capriol north of Sudbury, then bus from there down to Toronto, then go train from there out to Guildwood Village, and Jill picked us up in the car to take us home. And by the time we got this train changed and onto the buses and so on, you hulk your baggage with you and down through Union Station, likewise onto the train and so on. At that stage, you say, I want to get home. That was a wonderful journey we had, but now I just want to get home. And so what a joy it is when the car drives into your driveway, you pull out your key, you turn the key and go in, and you can say, home at last. Well, what a picture that is of the Lord and the way he leads his people. Our home is in heaven. We travel through this life. We face the trials. We face the temptations. We face the fact that we have a sinful nature. And we rejoice to know that the love of God that plucked us out of the fire will not let us go back into the fire and be consumed. And all the time as we go uphill and down dale in our Christian experience, sometimes happy days, sometimes trying days, as we do that all the time, we can hear him
whispering in our ear like that elder, ye shall get home. We will get home because the Lord, he will make sure of that. The Lord has made a way. Lovely little poem here. Don't know who the author was. His love has fixed the happy day when the last tears will wet our eyes, and God shall wipe those dews away and fill us with divine surprise to be at home and see his face and feel his infinite embrace. What a blessing to get home, to be with the Lord and to be with him forevermore. A man called John Mason, he wrote these words, I have a God that changeth not. Why should I be perplexed? My God that owns me in this world will own me in the next, because we will get home. We shall get home by the grace of God. Just reading in my own reading in Isaiah just a few days ago, that wonderful text in Isaiah 33 and 17, thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. And then it goes on to say, they, that is our eyes, shall behold the land that is very far off. Heaven right now may seem very far off, but someday our eyes shall behold our Savior, as someday our eyes shall behold the land that is fairer than day. What a tremendous prospect God has given. And as Dr. Saunders is reading there from that letter by James Rennick, I knew a minister back in Northern Ireland who was named after James Rennick. Rennick Wright, his name was, a godly man. And just thinking of the last statement that Larry read, that he said, oh then, what must be the eternal and full enjoyment of him be when we get home to glory and we see the Lord. My friend, as we go down through the passageway of life, I trust you'll be encouraged with the words of that old elder, we shall get home. And if you know not the Lord today, my friend, make sure you're on the right track. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man or woman cometh unto the Father but by me. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before thee and we thank thee for the great encouragement that Christianity is real, that Christ is real and alive, that salvation is real. And we thank thee, O God, the hope that thou hast given to us is also real. And Father, we pray for thy people, some who are struggling up the mountain of difficulty. O God, we pray it like Christian of old in the Pilgrim's Progress. They may sit down in that little quiet arbor that thou hast provided and contemplate the things that thou hast prepared. And Father, we ask of thee as they travel towards the swelling of Jordan, that thou would illumine their pathway by the light of the celestial city that lieth foursquare. Father, for those here this morning who are not on the right track, they've never come to Christ, and right now they're heading towards a Christ rejecter's hell. Oh God, we pray that thou would stop them, that thou would awaken them. We pray that they would come to Christ and therefore have the ticket for this eternal journey. And Father, we pray that this day some soul would find the Lord. Hear this, our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.